A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and joining me as ever is Mr. Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek, how are you?
Hello, David. Hello. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not bad, mate. Yeah, I'm good.
You got any good stories over the last...
Oh, God. I've had some fun things happen. I've not talked about meeting Terry Gilliam and Michael Palin on this podcast yet.
In a cafe?
That's right, in a cafe. No, it was for a gig at a theatre called The Roundhouse, and they were doing a thing called An Englishman, an American, and an Indian, because Sanjeev Bhaskar was in as well, walk into a bar.
And why didn't you not say, I haven't talked about meeting Terry Gilliam, Michael Palin, and Sanjeev Bhaskar?
Well, because I've met Sanjeev Bhaskar before.
In fact, I've done
an improv tour with him. Also, he's less exciting to film fans, potentially.
You're trying to say you don't like Sanjeev Bhaskar?
He's a very nice man. I do like Sanjeev Bhaskar. I will double down and say that much. Okay. But it was an absolute dream come true. I was playing the barman, is the end of that story. So I was playing the barman on stage with them, and I got to hang out with them in rehearsals from about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But it was absolutely wonderful. But I got to actually talk to Terry Gilliam about films, which was amazing.
Wow, what 12 Monkeys?
I talked to him a bit about different stuff, but...
So he's coming on the podcast, right, as a guest?
Well, probably not.
Did you say you did a film podcast?
No, I didn't.
Because you're too cool to say it.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, I don't know if for people over 50, doing a podcast means anything.
You're probably sitting at home drawing pictures of feet, thinking to himself, why has no one ever invited me on film podcast?
Or maybe. I mean, I can always try him on Twitter, I suppose.
Does he follow you on Twitter now?
No, I doubt it. But, it was very interesting to talk to him about it, and he's finally making his Don Quixote film. He's going into production with Adam Driver in the lead.
Oh, after the famous
the documentary about it failing, he's finally actually making it, so that's very exciting.
And what did he say about what which films did you talk about in that business?
Well, I got quite drunk, but he was talking about the scene in Baron Munchausen, the Robin Williams scene where he's King of the Moon. I don't know how well you remember the film.
Roughly.
But it was apparently supposed to be Sean Connery and his wife, Michael Palin, as King and Queen of the Moon, with over 1,000 extras as the citizens of the moon. And because they'd gone hugely over budget, the entire production was shut down, that 1,000 extras were all fired. Sean Connery ended up pulling out because apparently he was like, I can't be king of no one, that doesn't make any sense. And so it was only when Robin Williams came on that the project got saved and got made at all. Fascinating stuff. But anyway, they showed during the show a montage of Gilliam clips, and it's like, fucking hell, just to have come up with one of those images. Like, they're so iconic and striking.
How old are they now?
I don't know,
70s?
Probably 60s, late 60s.
Well, that's good.
But no, it was exciting. It was, for me, you know, absolute dream come true.
Great.
But yes, that is my story, if you were fishing for one.
I've been chopping down trees in the woods. Alright, okay.
Is someone paying you for that, or is it just to relieve stress?
Some rich bloke. Okay. Some rich bloke who's 10 years younger than me and is independently wealthy and quite patronising and hasn't paid me yet. All right, never mind. Let's go.
Well, we're going to talk about some films. Some that are in cinemas. One that's in cinemas at the moment, and another that you've recommended. So let's start with the film you went to see, Mary.
As usual, working my way through the Oscar nominees, I went to see Moonlight. It is the story of a young man's life through three different stages: childhood, teenagehood,
yep, and adultery.
Adulthood,
yeah.
Why is there not a hood on the age of teenagehood?
Well, there is, isn't there?
What is it then?
What? Childhood, teenhood.
It's not teenhood.
It's Teen Wolf, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Teen Wolf.
Childhood.
Teen Wolf.
Puberty. And adulthood.
Puberty.
It's one of the worst words, puberty.
It's horrible, isn't it? It's got the word pube in it.
It's basically like touches them and getting covered in pubes.
Well, it's the time you grow your pubes. And they've rightly named it after the most important thing that happens during puberty. Is you get some pubes.
Puberty. Call it teenhood instead.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it teenhood.
Okay.
So this young boy starts off and he lives on a sort of drugs ghetto with, and his mum is a heroin addict.
Okay.
And he's a very quiet boy and his name is Chiron.
Chiron.
Good name, isn't it?
He's shy and he's called Chiron.
Yeah. I don't know what his surname is. I sort of hope his name.
So if he tried really hard, he'd be called Tryron.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if he was really cool, Flyron.
No, that's good. Shyron's a good name. I want his surname to be Nkeating.
Chiron Nkeating.
Yeah. So Chiron Nkeating.
Yeah.
Is makes friends with a drug dealer.
Okay.
And then it's quite a slow moving.
Was there a comma there? Is it slow moving or is it slow and moving?
Both.
Right, okay.
And it's also slow moving.
Right.
So I could say it is a slow moving, moving.
Slow film.
Film. I suppose it's the most difficult thing to be is. Is it him dealing with his sexuality and discovering his sexuality?
Okay.
So a bit like Brokeback Mountain, in the hood.
In the hood.
Yeah. Okay.
Without cowboys in it.
Without cowboys, replace the cowboys.
Mm.
With black guys.
And the cows with drugs.
I suppose.
Okay.
But it's quite gentle. Normally, a lot of you associate that sort of. The drugs thing was just really loud R&B, I do anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
R&B being quite aggressive. It's quite nice to see what is in the really aggressive backdrop. A very gentle film. I suppose the word is juxtaposed, isn't it? You would say that if you were on English essay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've just juxtaposed it.
You go, oh, that's 5% I've got right there.
Yeah, juxtaposed. Okay, you just moved up from an F to an E.
I suppose that whole sort of...
You juxtapose.
I juxtapose that the whole violent sort of heavy dance track drug thing is very much a hangover from the 90s, isn't it? I mean, yeah. That's how drugs were portrayed in films in the 90s. In the 60s, it was all psychedelia, you know?
Yeah.
And all a bit more mellow.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very different take on that sort of genre, which is nice. It's directed by Barry Jenkins, who I think
Barry Jenkins?
Yeah, Barry Jenkins.
Bloke down the pub.
I mean, I can't remember what he's... I'm sure he's done some good... Anyway, I think he's nominated for Best Director as well. He's got nominated for Best Film. Mahershala Ali, I can't pronounce it properly, is probably nominated for Best Supporting Actor, as is Naomi... What's her name? From the Bond... Naomi Harris, yeah. I really enjoyed it. It's very slow, and it's not what I... You start saying, like, oh, it's going to be one of these sort of... There's quite a lot of rites of passage films, sort of drug dealer things that sort of seems to happen, but it was quite done really differently. And there's some brilliant individual... We talk about Manchester by the Sea, there's one scene in that which is brilliant. The same as the Daniel Blake, there's one scene in that which is real standout scenes.
Yeah.
This has got a couple of really powerful moments in it. But I'd say three or four
right.
really good moments in it. I think I don't think it's going to win Best Picture from La La Land, but it's very good.
How many Marics would you give it?
Eight.
Close,
just between 8 and 9, so 8, I think.
Okay.
Like
a big 8.
Yeah, and the lead is Shia Ronan Keating. The character itself, it's quite nice having a sort of almost silent a character doesn't speak very much.
Like Ryan Gosling.
Like Ryan Gosling does, and it adds a lot more to. That's what you need to do if you want to be an actor. Don't speak much and look a bit upset.
I think there might be more to it than that.
What else then?
Well, I don't know, but a quality, shall we say.
Don't speak
I think
much.
If most people, if you just grabbed someone off the street, you know, against their will, and put them in front of a camera and you just said, don't speak very much, they would be boring to watch.
You know, look into the distance, imagine, this is what you do, you say to them as a director, right, just look out of that window.
Well, this is apparently exactly how Nicholas Roeg directed David Bowie in The Man Who Fell to Earth, because he was so off his face on all sorts for the entire filming of it. He literally would go, okay, look up. Great. Okay, look down. Like an optician, basically. Just go, okay, is it better with or without? Okay, get your junk out. Walk over to that door. And that is how the entire film was.
Really?
Yeah, because he couldn't retain anything or do.
No, that's quite a good thing to do. Yeah, do that. So that's what I would do. Get your junk out. Well, not in this film. Imagine that you think you might have left the gas
on. Well, he's shy, isn't he, Shy Ronan?
If you might have left the gas on at home.
Yeah.
Imagine you're really constipated and you really force it, and then let's do half of that, a quarter of that. That's it. That is the sort of quiet thrust, quiet malice.
It worked quite well, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other method I know is that George Lucas used to just, after a take, just say, more or less. That's all he was just a volume control. That's all he would tell his actors how to do.
That's all it is. There's no real such, it's not really a skill.
I had a coffee next to Ralph Fiennes the other day.
And what did you say to him?
I didn't. He was busy, and I was just enjoying, you know, the quiet Soho life of having my coffee next to Ralph Fiennes.
Were you both by yourself?
We were the only people in there.
And you sat next to him.
It was quite a small place, so he was over by the window, and I was in the corner, but we were fairly near each other.
Did you say, "I do a film podcast"?
Yeah, but he didn't hear me. I said it quite quietly. I do a film podcast.
Just so they think about it and go, I'd like to go on your film podcast.
Okay, here's a question. Mm-hmm. If you were to interrupt a famous actor in their everyday life.
Yeah.
So, for instance, if it was Ralph Fiennes, which film of his would you pick to go, oh, I loved you in that?
I don't know why. It's not his best film, but Strange Days comes to mind.
That's interesting. His failed attempt to be a Hollywood leading man.
Let me have a look at him and see. Do I am allowed to look him up?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, you be Ralph Fiennes and I'll interrupt you.
Okay, I'll be Ralph Fiennes.
Does this coffee shop stink of cheese?
No, I don't think it does. I don't smell cheese at all.
I'd love to be an English patient.
Oh, thank you. That's really kind of you to say.
Can you buy me a coffee?
Listen, what the fuck's this
about? I do a film podcast.
Security.
Oh, well. Oh, so, back to the film. Moonlight. It deserved Oscar nomination, I think, as a sort of redefining that genre. Naomi Harris is very good in it. All the acting is very good in it. Makes me want to go and get a set of gold teeth.
Really?
No.
I mean, they're not nice, are they?
They're horrible.
You know, what's his name from Simply Red has a
Mick Hucknall
has a ruby in his teeth, but because the light doesn't shine on it, because he's got, you know, lips.
Yeah.
It just looks like a black hole in his teeth. Really expensive hole in your teeth.
Any time I'm feeling a bit down about myself, I look at Mick Hucknall.
Oh, that's good. Right. Yeah, yeah. No, it's true.
So that's that film, then. Go and watch it.
There you go. Moonlight. Did you say it was called
Moonlight? Yeah.
Moonlight.
Well, I don't know why it's called Moonlight. I think the title is
Moonlight
not...
is having two jobs, isn't it?
Yeah.
Does he have two jobs?
No, he doesn't.
Oh.
Maybe he's moonlighting as something he isn't. I don't know what. Maybe you could say it could be him. This is the worst. What you just heard there, listeners, was the worst sentence ever recorded on any podcast.
I don't think you got to the end of a sentence there.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, well, that's Moonlight. Now I think it's time for this. Have we got any letters?
Well, there's a nice one for James from James Wicks, commending you on a joke you made about saying nobody expects a Japanese Inquisition, but it's not really. It's just saying well done for the joke. So it's not really a letter.
All right. Well, thanks. What was that? Oh, that was about silence, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Terence McTamney.
Okay. What does Terence want?
Oh, he's the Netflix recommendation, which we'll add to our things we might.
Yes, we've started a list of Netflix recommendations, well, film recommendations, more accurately, that we are slowly working our way through, and we'll be talking about them. Films we get to see on the podcast. So if you would like to make any recommendations of films that blew you away and you think people might not have seen, then please do get in touch by going to filmfandango.com.
And Terence says, hello, Dave American Buddy. Recently I watched an interesting film on Netflix which I haven't been able to get out of my head, which I found very enjoyable. The film is Would You Rather? I recommend it to both you and to the dozens of listeners. Keep watching the films. Best wishes, Terence.
I mean, he's optimistic.
I've seen that film, and I have skipped through it.
I saw the end of that film.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and it seemed like another one of these sort of locked room Saw rip-offs.
I thought it was Would You Rather, that thing, Would You Rather, you know, blow your...
dick off.
No, awful, the worst one.
What? What's the worst
one? The worst
one
you could say, Would You Rather Blow Your Dad, or that one?
Oh, I've never heard that.
You must have done.
No. This is probably an Isle of Wight thing.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
What?
Here's an email.
Okay, this is from Ben Paynton. And he says, Dear Marek, David, Buddy, but
Ben
not...
Painter.
Painter, sorry. Yes, you're absolutely right. Do you know Ben?
No, but I'm going to eat your biscuit while you're reading this out, so please...
Can you try and only chew on punctuation?
Yeah.
So commas and full stop.
Apologies if anyone hears, because I know it's disgusting, isn't it, to people, but we've been very quiet.
This is from Ben Painter. And he says, Dear Marek, David, Buddy, but not the prick of a dog next door. In the voice of Jack Nicholson being over the top, or don't bother as it may grow tiresome for whoever gives it a go. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I am still slowly picking my way through the IMDb 250, having known almost all of what happens in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, mostly through a Simpsons parody, I had never got round to watching it. I really did enjoy watching it and was surprised to see the amount of actors in it who I knew, although most would have been unknown when such as Brad Dourif, Christopher Lloyd, Michael Berryman, well known still for being able to play unhinged or mentally ill people. However, the biggest surprise for me came when the titles at the end rolled and I hadn't noticed that one of the main cast was Danny DeVito. I was so surprised I hadn't noticed him that I had to rewind the film and rewatch a scene with him in. Perhaps it was the combination of him being so young and playing a role that I would never link him to because of his exceptional comedy pedigree. I could think of another role or film where I had failed to identify someone so famous in a very obvious role. Have either of you ever had this watching older films where you haven't noticed someone so famous like this, which should have been so obvious? Also, would love to see you play the casting game for this one. On another note, I was also working out my reverse IMDb score. The first film you come to in the worst 250 films, obviously the higher the better again. Disappointingly, mine is 27, although I did walk out of the cinema 30 minutes in, the one and only time ever. What's your score? Hopefully not applicable. But it really is an awful, depressing list of films, which even sound fucking shit. Excuse the slightly long-winded email. Keep watching the films, Ben. Okay, well, Danny DeVito, first off, in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Brilliant performance. Sort of unrecognisable, I quite agree. Like, he's absolutely excellent.
Yeah, but the thing with Danny DeVito, stature-wise, because he's so short,
You don't notice him in films?
No, he's quite easy to notice in there.
Oh, I see. No, I just think it's an excellent performance.
I'm quite good on faces, so I always recognise everyone.
Well, I'm looking through the worst 250 films of all time on IMDb at the moment to see.
Where did you find that?
Best and worst. To see if I've seen any of these films. Nothing so far. Oh dear, going Ben and Arthur.
I mean, they're so obscure, these films.
Jurassic Shark.
Disaster movies in there. I didn't watch that. That's the first one I've recognised at number 13.
Mariah Carey's Glitter at number 31.
We'll read out some of the names.
Oh, Son of the Mask. God, I remember that.
Jurassic Shark.
Yeah. I have seen none of these films.
The Beast
I'm quite
of Yucca
proud.
Flats. I mean, I wonder if they're all tax dodges or not. Epic Movie is another one that it's got 2.3. I've heard of that.
Bill Cosby's Leonard Part 6. Nope, not seen that. No. Jiggly, not seen that. Battlefield Earth, there we go. My first film at number 51. With an IMDb score of 9%.
I have also seen that film.
A Metacritic score, rather.
That is the first film I've seen as well.
Yeah, Battlefield Earth. I mean, it is exceptional.
I think I started watching Lawnmower Man 2, actually, many years ago, at number 65, but I cannot remember anything about it. But I think it's one of the ones you get from the... You get your dad... When your dad goes to the video store,
yeah,
and you ask him to get you a horror film, and he literally picks up the first... the closest video... And we ended up watching some soft porn one night. Very interesting.
So would you rather... Well, are there any more letters or is that enough for this week?
Yeah, let's have another letter. Why not?
Sure.
I love hearing from the general public.
Yes. It is a good thing about this, isn't it?
Oh, here's an email about Lost in London, which you went to see, which is a Woody Harrelson live film. This is from Ben Raphael. Dear David, Merrick and Buddy... The Cine Hound. That's quite a nice name for him, isn't it?
The Cine Hound, yeah.
Really interested to hear your thoughts on Lost in London. I went along knowing nothing except that it was being shot and live streamed, like in some crazy vision of the future. Definitely an interesting experience. The cam work was the most impressive aspect for me, dealing with scene changes and the odd bungled cue without misstep and avoiding bashing into everything. Location management and direction of extras was also pretty stunning, particularly the club scene. Performances, especially from some of the British cast, were very broad, verging on soap opera, which was a shame. It was an interesting choice to make a comedy in this way, not a completely successful one in my opinion, but kudos to Woody and the team for managing to keep the show on the road. We'll definitely be checking out Victoria on your advice. I wonder if either of you saw Time Code, which pulled a similar trick but used 4 simultaneous single takes, getting a quarter of the screen. By the way, did you spot that clock in the cab was wrong?
I didn't spot that, no.
As in, it was right, showing the actual time rather than just performing that when the film was set. Cameron did a good job shifting focus quickly, but it made me giggle. All the best, keep watching the film with Ben.
Ah, well, yes. Lost in London, we've talked about it a few episodes ago now, if you want to go back and check that out. I thoroughly enjoyed it as a very sort of foolhardy endeavour. I thought it was lots of fun. Time Code... Yeah, I have seen. It's a Mike Figgis film, and as you just described, it's 4 simultaneous takes,
yeah,
single takes, split in, and the soundtrack of which one you're listening to changes, but the picture of the other one carries on. And I think there are 3 earthquakes during the film, which so they're all tied together, so that happens at the same time on all of them, and then characters from one end up in the stream of the other and all of this. But what's interesting as well is that Mike Figgis has done events where he live mixes the music and which one you're watching, so he's played it different ways round.
Oh really?
And on the DVD you can change which one you're listening to at the touch of a button as well.
Wow.
So you get different parts of the dialogue and story and everything. It's a really fun experiment.
Good film.
Yeah, it's good to watch. It's a good thing, yeah. It's got Salma Hayek and Stellan Skarsgård in it. I can't remember. It was years ago in Edinburgh I watched it. I think I watched it around the time it came out. 2000. So, no, it'll have been after it came out. But Gene Triplehorn's in it. Saffron Burrows.
Oh, that's who I was thinking of.
Yeah. Danny Houston. Holly Hunter. Kyle MacLachlan. It's got lots of good people in it. Leslie Mann. But it's no, it's worth checking out if you're sort of interested in people playing with the medium, really.
All right, then. Well, on to the next bit.
Sure, the next bit.
Yeah.
Well, Marek and I have both watched one of your recommended films. It was recommended by Adam Taylor. Have we read his letter out before on the programme?
Yes, we could quickly do a quick synopsis of it, can't we?
So, to repeat ourselves, this is, "Dear David, Marek and Buddy, I just watched 10 Cloverfield Lane on the strength of your recommendations. I thought it was excellent, a very intelligent and enjoyable thriller, and it reminded me of another very intelligent and enjoyable thriller, also starring Mary Elizabeth Winstead, called Faults. Faults is about a writer and cult specialist called Ansel Roth, played by Leyland Orser, who is approached by a couple to deprogram their daughter, who's been brainwashed into a cult." So that, Marek and I have both tracked it down. It's on Netflix, as it turns out, and watched it. I mean, that is pretty much what it is. This character of the expert in deprogramming, he's fallen on hard times. He's had to become a bit of a shyster in order to just get food, and has been slightly screwed over by his ex-wife and his publisher.
I never knew the name of the actor, but he's a guy who...
Leyland Orser.
He's in lots of films, he is a guy he brought in to start crying. So I recognise him from Seven and from Aliens, where he does man crying really convincingly, I think.
Who's he playing in Seven?
In Seven, he's a guy who was forced to have sex with a prostitute with a knife dick. And in Alien...
I'm glad he got work after that, because just being Knife Dick Man would be bit of a disappointing CV.
In quite a few Hollywood films, you recognise him as someone who cries really convincingly.
And he does in this film as well. It's basically, yes, they kidnap this girl, lock her in a motel room, and he tries to convince her to come back to reality.
Yeah.
So it's a fairly low budget film. I really enjoyed it. As soon as it started, I was like, "Oh, this is fun. This has got a sense of humour. It's classy." It felt like a Coen Brothers film at the beginning.
I thought the beginning was very, very strong.
Yeah, and he's excellent. I've not seen him as a leading man before. Yeah. I thought he was really, really
it's
good.
It's great to see an unusual character. And you don't normally see a bit of an arsehole.
Yeah.
And the whole fact that he was trying to save as much money as possible in this hotel. I would want to just follow his story, really.
You're right. I mean, it was interesting where they went. But for me, and I'm trying not to spoiler it here, but for me, with every sort of big twist, it became less believable, and I felt I had less of a handle on what they were thinking and feeling. It felt like the idea was maybe too long an idea to fit into the length of the film. Do you know what I mean? Because by the end, I was slightly disappointed.
Yeah, I thought I was... But it's good. It's good.
It's a good film.
It feels low budget. But the beginning,
beginning is promising something even better than it ends up being, I think.
Because Elaine Norse is such a good actor in that role.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's very watchable, and
I sort of just as you say, I wanted to see him struggling with his life in a more mundane way, actually, than what we ended up with.
It's not. You have films where the situation's interesting and the characters are normally quite bland and boring.
Yes,
and this was a person where the character was really interesting.
Yeah,
and you actually want to watch him.
Although that's not to say the rest of the cast weren't good, because Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I thought, was excellent. Is very watchable. And the two actors who played her parents, I thought, were brilliant. Like, I've seen the mother before.
Yeah, in quite a few things.
She sort of famously is the teacher obsessed with Patrick Swayze in Donnie Darko.
Yes.
And she coaches Sparkle Motion, or whatever they're called. Yeah. The slutty girl dance troupe. And then the dad, I thought, was fascinatingly sort of dangerous. You weren't sure what he was going to do.
Yeah.
Like, there's some really good performances in this. But I sort of wanted it to stay slightly more on the rails than it does.
But I think it's a really interesting. It's just great to watch a film that you realise when you watch something like that how samey and boring all the Western plots are.
But yeah, I think but it's really good. How simple it is actually to set up a character as being interesting and weird and stuff, even before the story really gets going.
Yeah,
you know, it was, every scene was so watchable, like fascinating. I think it's a it deserves more attention than it's been given.
It looks good as well. It looks good.
It looks beautiful. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I think it's a very good recommendation.
Faults. Yeah. So Faults is currently on Netflix. I'm sure it's on other things as well. But it's directed and written by Riley Stearns or Stearns, who I've not heard of before. In fact, this is. I mean, assuming Riley is a man.
Cat. I had a cat called Riley.
Or maybe it's your cat. Was he born in 1986?
Well, no, it might have been. It was an adopted cat that came around our house, but I was allergic to cats. And I tried to explain to my mum that, you know, I didn't really like the cat because I was allergic to it, but she ignored that.
Okay. Well, this is Riley Stearns' directorial debut for a feature film. So, bloody good work.
Is Riley a cat or a man or a lady?
A cat. I think Riley's a cat, yeah. So for a cat, I mean, it's even more impressive, really, isn't it? And it's 89 minutes, and that's pretty good for a debut as well. That's what you want.
Should have kept in touch with that cat.
Yeah, you could have been in it.
Ah, shit.
You could have been the angry man at the seminar at the beginning. You'd be good in that.
Why?
Well, you're quite good at angry, I think.
Thanks.
Well, that's it for this week. As I said in the middle, if you would like to contact us with film recommendations, questions, anything you like, then go to filmfandango.com and fill out the form there. Also, we do all of this for free, so if you'd like to make a contribution to say thank you for us producing this podcast week in, week out, or week by week, as I should say.
Or week after week.
Week
after,
that's the one.
Or day after day, day after
day. Week after week, isn't it? Week after, because it's weekly, isn't it?
Yeah, but the amount of effort we put into it.
It is daily effort, you're right. You're right, because we have to watch a film. Then please go to filmfandango.com and click the donate button. And everyone who has, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll be back next week. In the meantime, keep watching the films. Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.